Good morning. Good to be here with y'all today. Yeah, that'll work. Okay. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and so kind and loving. And as we open your word and we read, would you remind us that this is your living, powerful word? That you would use it to reach inside of us and expose us and make us know ourselves better, make us know you better, make us love you more and draw us closer to you. And I pray that you would do all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how do you feel? What does it feel like for you? I wish we could all like go around and answer this because I'm curious. I know what it feels like for me. Okay, when somebody comes to you and you're like doing something and you think everything's going pretty good and you know, you've got it figured out and somebody pulls you aside and is like, and as soon as you get that look, you know what's coming, that they're going to say something. You're like, you shouldn't. And maybe it's your parent or it doesn't matter how old you are. Maybe it's still your parent. Maybe it's a friend or pull you aside and say, you know, that thing that you do or the way that the thing that you're about to do, or I don't think that that's the smartest, wisest, most godly thing. And how do you feel when, I know what we're supposed to say, right? I feel blessed. What a wonderful thing. I hate it. I like to think that I'm right and that I pretty much have things figured out and that I'm, you know, going down a good path and that I'm a good example to be imitated and that I've kind of got things figured out. And I hate it when I get pulled aside. It's like, you know, no matter who it is, whenever I'm told, you know, hey, I don't think you're doing the right thing, the thing you're supposed to do. I hate it because I either have to change, which I hate doing, right? I like to think that I'm right, and then in getting told that I'm not and realizing I'm not, it's like, so I gotta change. So what I have to change, or I have to justify, you know, to the person why they're wrong and I'm right, which is kind of the route that I naturally tend to go. You know, it's give me a few examples of where you see that in me, and well, that's because, and I explain it all away, and then I go away satisfied. I hate that whole, it's tension, it's conflict. What do you feel like when in that moment when you get the look and you know you're going to be told, I don't think you're going to get some unwanted or unasked for advice, some counsel? Who's the person in your life that when they give you that unasked for counsel, it bothers you the most? You're just like, anybody but them. And so what do we do? And maybe you're different. Maybe it's, you know, the greatest blessing for you when you get unwanted counsel. But if you're like me, what do we do when we get that unwanted counsel? Don't we tend to avoid it? Avoid those conversations, avoid those people, avoid. And then when we hear it, we kind of, I don't know, I justify it, I ignore it. I don't really listen and take it in. I listen enough to respond back and deflect it and keep it at arm's length. I'm not good at taking in that counsel, but I'm really good at explaining to you why you're actually the one who's kind of off base and off target. I don't take it in. My tendency is actually to find people who will tell me that, man, you're doing pretty good. You're a good person. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I ask people for advice when I know that their answer is going to be, yeah, you rock. Keep going. I seek out that advice. I don't like saying this in public, but it's true. So that tends to be the kind of advice I'm more apt to ask you for advice if I know that your response is going to be, yeah, everything's good. In fact, just keep doing better. Maybe a little less. You're just too good. I don't like good advice because it normally means I have to change something. I have to go into my heart and become a different person and act in a different way. And I don't like that. But you know what is attractive? It's when I'm going down a bad path and someone kind of helps me justify that bad path. I know I shouldn't treat my kids this way. I know I shouldn't buy that thing that I want, but I don't really need. And then that person comes along and says, well, actually, that's, you were kind of justified in the way you snapped off at your kid. Actually, you know, you work hard. You deserve that. Someone comes along and gives me questionable advice. It kind of helps me because it appeals to my flesh. It appeals to what I already want to do. And so I already want to do it. And if you come along and say, yeah, that's right. And here's why. And it's okay. I like that advice because it doesn't make me turn against myself and fight against my flesh and do something I don't want to do. It pushes me down the path that I already kind of decided I wanted to go down. But wisdom requires sacrifice. And what if I were to tell you that, and we'll see it in the story today, that this tendency to just be bothered by good advice, by people telling us, you know, you might not want to do that thing and go down that path, and you might want to think about changing this. And our tendency to be bothered by that and to deflect it and to push it off and to justify why we do what we do, and to, it actually robs us of a lot. It makes us suffer unnecessarily. It takes things away from us, all unnecessarily. Today we're going to look at a story that is all about good advice and listening to good advice and following good advice and ignoring good advice and consequences that come from that. And I think, I don't know, for me, a lot of times reading the story is like looking in a mirror. So the story is the story of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. So to put it in context, we've been going through the Old Testament kings. And so Saul was the first king. And he didn't follow God, and so God took him, his family, out of the line of succession, and he put King David in his place. And David was a man after God's own heart. And so David had children that sat on the floor, had a son who sat on the throne, Solomon. And then after Solomon passed, his son Rehoboam became king. And this is about the beginning of Rehoboam's reign. The beginning of his reign. That's the right word. So before we read the story, there's a little bit of backstory that I think, at least for me, makes this story just come alive. And here's what it is. This story has a ton of irony in it because the thing that Rehoboam doesn't do, his father has talked about over and over and over again. We quote these scriptures to ourselves that if Rehoboam would have listened to his father, would have saved him from a lot of trouble. When we to this day, we quote them. There's a song that I listen to that has the words of one of them that we're gonna read. It look at Proverbs chapter 8. So these are things that Rehoboam's father Solomon wrote during his reign and during his life. And look at like Solomon, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. He gives a ton of instructions throughout the book of Proverbs about foolishness and being foolish and listening to instructions and listening to counsel. And it is against that backdrop that we're going to look at what his son did. But let's read the backdrop first. So look at Proverbs 8:33. Hear my instructions and be wise. Instructions and do not neglect it. Look at Proverbs 11. Listen to instructions, right? 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Or look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. If Rehoboam had read any of his father's books, he would have been saturated in this. So we're going to assume that he knew this. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Excuse me. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Flip over to 19. And these are just selections. It's all over, though, the Proverbs. Proverbs 19. Look at verse 20. Listen to advice and gain instruction and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Look at verse 27. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. So, assuming that Rehoboam had listened to anything that his father had said, he had heard over and over again, don't be foolish, listen to instruction, be wise, which makes what he ends up doing just the most ironic story that we'll probably read in this whole series. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11. We'll drop into the story right at the end of King Solomon's life, right as he's about to hand a throne to his son. 1 Kings 11, verse 41. Now, the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the time Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel's 40 years, and Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Now, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And I'm reading farther along in the story, my own personal readings. It just happens to coincide with kind of where we're at, the plan that I'm on. And so there's a lot of battles around people being crowned king and coming up to be king and who's going to be the next king. Rehoboam didn't have to deal with any of that. It was established. He was going to be king, and they all came up to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt where he'd fled from King Solomon, Jeroboam was one of the people that God had raised up an adversary against Solomon, as Solomon had disobeyed God at the end of his life. So he was someone who was already an enemy of the house of Solomon and his family. Then Jeroboam, so we can't confuse the names, there's Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and then Jeroboam, rhyming names, but completely different people. Then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." So he's referring to, right, all the projects and all the work Solomon did. They were always building stuff, and there was heavy taxation, and it was being the richest country and the richest, under the richest king of, at least of that time, Solomon being the richest king was a heavy burden for the people, because he was always building and accumulating and acquiring, and there was a lot of stuff that people had to do and give. So they said, "Can we just take a breather? We've established our kingdom. Everything's good. We have the temple. We have your palace. We have enough. Can we just have some rest?" Decent request. He said to them, and this is a very wise thing, "Go away for 3 days. Then come again to me." So the people went away. That whole think about it thing, you get to this point in the story, like, wow, a wise young man. Most people just make snap decisions in the moment. But he said, "I'm going to think about it, not for 24 hours. That's my wife and my rule. We have this thing, whatever we're thinking about, anything kind of big, we'll pray about it for 24 hours. And he, 3 days. So that's a very wise thing. Then, so during these 3 days, King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer this people? And again, you read this and you say, wow, he's doing everything right. He doesn't have his dad to ask, the wisest man, but he has the men who counseled and stood before the wisest man. So he asked them, what should I do? And they said to him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them, and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever." So win them over. Win them over. Make them love you and follow you. On the face of it, it's like, of course, that's good advice. Why would you not do that? But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. So interesting. It's not like, I always read this as he compared two groups, right? He had his friends, like his little group, his guys who he grew up with, he came up with them, then his dad's counselors. So he went to his dad's counselors, and they went to his friends, and finally kind of like weighed both answers and said, I'm going to do what you guys say, my friends, because that, you know, there's friends. That's not what happened. Look at the sequence. He goes to the old men. They say, "No, speak kindly to them. Be humble before the people, and you'll win them over." And he's a young man and just become king and probably full of pride. And he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't compare his friend's counsel. Before he asks his friends for counsel, he rejects his father's counselor's counsel. He says no to that first. Why? Because that's not what he wanted to do. He was looking for somebody to tell him what he wanted to do instead of somebody who would give him actually good advice, which they did. But he had already decided. It's like you and I. He had decided what he wanted. He just wanted someone to say, yeah, that's a good idea. They told him something totally different. He says, hey. He abandoned that. So he went to find somebody who would tell him, I'm reading into this, but he went to find somebody else who would tell him kind of what he wanted to hear. So he took counsel from his boys. He said to them, what do you advise that we answer the people who have said to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him said, thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus shall you say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. So I'm more of a man than my dad was. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, and I will discipline you with scorpions. So come up over them and just assert your authority, and you be the man, and you tell them what's going to happen, and you take over and take charge. And it's a very prideful answer, and a very selfish, and a very domineering. And so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, and the king said, come to me come to me again on the third day. And the king answered the people harshly, forsaking the counsel that the old men had given to him. He spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord has spoke by Ahijah the Silonite to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I wish we could go down that path. There's a whole other parallel story in this about the sovereignty of God, but let's continue. We're looking at one thing today. In verse 16, and when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, when people answered the king, so look at the results of doing what he wanted to do and finding counselors that would say, yeah, do that. You're smart. You know what to do, and not listening to true, good, wise, godly counsel. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered to the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David. So Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. So he got one tribe out of 12. And then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor. So he's going to make them come back to work, make them be part. He was going to act like he was their king, even though they had abandoned him. And all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. He got the message. You're not their king anymore. And when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him the king over all Israel. And then there were none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. So read that story and wow. One day he decided what he was going to do, didn't listen to good advice, found bad advice. It kind of was what he wanted to do anyway. And then what happened? One day, one piece of bad advice. He lost the whole kingdom. Well, 11 out of 12 of the tribes didn't follow him anymore. And then you read the rest of the stories of the kings, and that's why for the rest of the stories of the kings, there's always the king of Israel and the king of Judah. King of Israel and the king of Judah. And you read that and you say, what? Isn't it the same thing? No, it's not, because they broke off. 11 of the tribes broke off because he didn't listen to wise advice, and God had ordained that, but he didn't listen to wise advice. He didn't win the people, and they abandoned him. And now there were two countries where before there had been one. And his whole life, the rest of his life, was different because he didn't listen to wise advice. It was a huge thing that took so much from the rest of him and from the kingdom. And you think about it, it's a tragedy, because his dad, King Solomon, and his grandfather, King David, they had made the country what it was. They'd established it, and they beat back the enemies, and they had built it up, and they had made it this thing. And because he listened to bad counsel, and it's more precisely because he didn't listen to good counsel, he ruined it. He ruined it. He was wise in his own eyes. He was foolish. He was prideful, and it was a tragedy. And it was all because he didn't listen to wise counsel. And so here's the big idea from this for us today. Many times other people can see our stuff better than we can.
Many times other people can see our stuff, our lives, what we're going through, what we're dealing with, our actions, our attitudes, the way we're coming across, the things, the decisions we're making. They can see it many times, not always, many times see it better than we can see it, because they see it with more clarity, because they're outside of our situation. They have more perspective. They're not in our moment. I'm in a moment right now. I have things going on in my life, and I'm in that. You're outside of that. You have more clarity. You have a better perspective. You don't have the emotional connections that I have to the stuff that I want to do and the decisions I want to make and the people that are in my life. And I feel things deeply, and good things and bad things. And you don't feel that for those things. So you're outside of that. You have more clarity. Other people can see our stuff better than we can see our own stuff. The older men who had counseled his father could see the situation better than he was able to see it. He just didn't know that. But we can look at his story and we can learn from that. And here's what we can learn. Other people can see our stuff better than we can see our stuff many times. And here's the thing. Much of our happiness, and much of our happiness, not just in this life, but our eternal happiness, our eternal life, depends in great part on listening to people as they give us counsel. Because so many times we are like Rehoboam. We're like Solomon's son. We know what we want to do. We know what we're doing. And I don't want you to tell me anything different. And I don't want you to say, you know what? The way you're coming across, the way you're acting, the way that your character is, the way that you treat your kids, the way you talk to your wife, the way that you're working, the way that you're doing this, you're kind of lazy, you work too much, whatever the thing is. What I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that I'm not doing exactly what I should do. In fact, I would rather listen to people tell me you're doing good. But people outside of me, people other than me can see my stuff, people can see your stuff better than you can see your stuff. And it's not just because they see it with more clarity and with less emotion, and they have their own experiences that they can factor in as they give us counsel. It's not just because of that. It's also because now, in our time, after the cross, many times God speaks to us and leads us. The Spirit guides us through the counsel of other people. That's one of the ways that God leads us and speaks to us. Look at the book of James, verse 5. One place that talks about this. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 19. Many times, not only do people see our stuff better from the outside, because they can see it better, they have more clarity. It's because God, through the Spirit, leads us through others. Look at what this says. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, that's somebody seeing someone else's situation better than they see it and then speaking into it, giving wise counsel, the Spirit guiding the person through someone else's counsel. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. One of the ways that God leads his children is through the counsel of other people. And that's why, just like with Rehoboam, for you and I, everything depends on listening to, seeking out, and then listening to good, wise counsel. Our happiness and our eternal life depends in great part on listening to the wise counsel that God puts in our path. So, what do we do with that? What's the application? We should seek out and follow wise counsel. We should let other people speak into our lives and then listen to them. So how do we seek out and listen to wise counsel? What do we do, right? I don't have a cohort of my dad's counselors just waiting in the wings, and you know, my homeboys over here. Wait, I'm not Rehoboam. So how do I seek out wise counsel? How do you do that? First of all, we ask the people who know us, who can see our lives. We ask them, what do you think? We seek out wise counsel. And then we should listen to it. And not like Rehoboam did. Not in a, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear. I'm not going to do that. We should listen to it. We should analyze it, not answer in the moment. And I'm talking to myself here because you come and give me counsel, I'm immediately in my mind. I've learned. I'm old enough now. I've learned. It looks really bad if you answer back and you're like, no, it's not because, and you start arguing with the person giving you counsel. That looks just so immature. So I don't do that outside of, but in my mind, I'm doing that. Come and give me counsel. I immediately am, you'll know what I'm thinking. I won't tell you, but I'm immediately just saying, no, it's because of this and this and this and this. And I totally have made an argument to shut out what you're saying before you've even stopped talking. We should listen. We should shut off the mind for a minute and just listen. Listen to the counsel as it comes in and not respond immediately, and then go away and analyze it. Pray, analyze it. You know why? Because not all counsel is wise. Not all counsel has wisdom. Not all counsel that you hear, you know this, is God guiding you. God does guide us through other people, but not everything people tell us is God guiding us. So we should think about it. We should listen to it. We should pray. We should consider the source. Is that person a Christian who loves Jesus or not? Not that we wouldn't necessarily listen to someone who doesn't love Jesus, but listen to the source. Compare the source. Who's the counsel coming from? Is it a wise person? And we should recognize and reject bad counsel. Of course, we should analyze it. Is this something that just doesn't make sense? Is this something that doesn't line up with the Word of God? Maybe they're counseling me to do something that doesn't line up with this. It is in direct contradiction to this. So of course that's not from God. That's bad counsel. Or maybe it's on something that the Bible is kind of neutral on. So it's kind of a gray area. And what does wisdom say? And what they're saying is not wise. So it's okay to say, this is not a message that ends with saying, accept all the counsel that everybody gives you. That would be, I almost said, silly. Another word like silly. That would be, foolish. That's the word. That would be very foolish to do that. Don't accept all counsel that you get. Think about it. Take every thought captive. Compare it with the truth of the Word of God. Pray about it. Let God guide you. If it's bad counsel, reject it. Be confident enough to reject it. But then, if it's good counsel, if it lines up with the Word of God, if it lines up with God's wisdom, then I think the story today would say, accept it. Recognize it, accept it, say, yes, that is good, wise counsel. And then don't just say, yeah, I should do that. Act on it. Do what Rehoboam should have done. He should have heard the counsel from his father's counselors. He should have accepted it, recognized it was good. He should have acted on it. He should have gone out and told the people, when I hear good counsel, I still don't want to change. Even when I know it's good counsel, we should act on the good counsel that God sends us through His grace, through common grace, and through the Holy Spirit. We should say, thank you, I'll do that. So, this is a bit of a different message because of the theme and the way where we end up. But let me give you a couple of next steps that might be practical things you can grab onto and say, I'm not Rehoboam, but how do I listen to and hold on to good counsel? Here's a question for you. This might be a next step for somebody. What is the wise counsel that you've received that you know is wise counsel, but you've pushed to one side? You haven't rejected it, or maybe you have, but you know it's wise counsel and you've just resisted it. You haven't wanted to hear it. Yeah. If this is you and you know there's something that you've already heard and you know it's wise counsel, you should just accept it. You should do that thing. You should listen to that counsel. And maybe for you, the application of this message is just letting me give you some, probably the best counsel that anyone could give somebody else. And that's this. If you're not a Christian, the best thing and the only thing that matters and the biggest thing that you can do in your life, the only important thing that you can do is giving yourself to Jesus, repenting and being baptized, making Him the Lord of your life. And that, for all the good counsel we receive in life, is the best and the only counsel that matters. And if that's you, then that's the good counsel that you should accept. And maybe for the rest of us, something we can grab onto is, I can't think of any wise counsel I've rejected. I'm already a Christian. So where does this hang on? Where do I grab onto for this message? What about deciding beforehand, like right now, that the next time someone gives you counsel, instead of throwing up the barriers, getting defensive, just keeping them at arm's length, shutting them off, rejecting it, that you'll listen, that you'll analyze it, that you'll pray about it. And that you'll let God tell you through His Word, through His Spirit, if it's wise counsel. And if it is, that you'll accept it. What if we did that the next time someone gave us counsel? And what if that just became part of who we were as people? That every time someone gave us counsel, we thought about it, we listened, and we prayed about it. And when it was wise counsel and God confirmed it to us, then we did it. Wouldn't we be wiser? Wouldn't our lives be marked by wisdom and by listening to other people and by God leading us through other people as He sends them through us? And wouldn't we be saved from further hardship and pain? Why don't we stand and pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear God, I pray that You would use the story of a very foolish man to make us wise. I pray that as You send people to us through Your grace, as You send people to us through Your Spirit to guide us with Your counsel, and You would take away our first instinct to put up barriers and be defensive, that in that moment, Your Spirit would guide us, and Your Spirit would give us humility and help us listen. And then You would give us wisdom and help us know what You want us to do. And that You would help us recognize through Your Word and through Your Spirit wise counsel. And again, have the humility to accept it then. And let You guide us through the wisdom that You put in other people's mouths for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.